YPG's Desert Rats tested weapons of war so they'd work when soldiers' lives depended on them. Thousands of veterans walk the earth today thanks to their work. After decades of service, all that's left is testament. Desert Rat Testament is a monthly anthology that collects the stories and recollections of retired UMA Proving Ground employees of decades-long service.
Hello, I'm Mark Schauer. When Sergeant First Class Darren Meeks retired from active duty in 2005, he had spent 13 of his 22-year active duty career as an Army and Army National Guard recruiter in Yuma. When he started his civilian career at Yuma Proving Ground, some of the folks he helped enlist in the Army were now his co-workers.
Unlike a lot of folks, you were familiar with Yuma Proving Ground long before you ever worked here or you were ever in uniform.
Yes, I grew up in rural Arizona, which most people, if you ask them, where's rural? And I go, it's right next to Tacna. And I go, where's Tacna? It's next to Welton. Where's Welton? It's next to Yuma. Yuma, where's that? And I go, and if I'm from Phoenix, as most people, as you, just like in the smaller communities, Parker and stuff, it's small. Antelope, my graduating class was 26. And then joined the Army, left for a few years. And then the Army goes, we're going to make you a recruiter in Yuma, Arizona. And I was like, Yum. Nor Yucca, Yavapai, and then ended up Yuma, right next to Marine Corps base. And I was like, man, this is going to be interesting.
How did you wind up in Arizona in the first place?
My dad got to be a Border Patrol agent and went from Chicago, Lodi, California, is where the Border Patrol school was back in the 1900s when he was in the 70s. And then Tacna, Arizona, it was only a 2 Border Patrol man check station in Tacna. It was just the office and a cell. And they patrolled, I think, from Ajo to the Telegraph Pass.
They talked about being a recruiter in a Marine town, but it sounds like you were pretty successful because I know you worked with at least a few people that you recruited into the Army.
Yes, I started my Army recruiting in September 1992, which the first 6 months I was really like, oh, what am I doing? You know, because the Army teaches you a particular way to recruit. And I was like, nobody wants to join. And then they were like, just go out and be yourself. And it was like, okay. And then I would just go out and start talking to people. But I used the Bruce Lee's philosophy, fighting without fighting. So recruiting without recruiting. I never talked to anybody about it. They started talking to me. They answered the questions. Then they started raising their hands, enlisting. And then the Army wanted me to leave from Yuma to go to Bangor, Maine to be a large production station commander. And I was just like, Bangor, Maine? My brother lives there, but I don't want to go. So I got out of the Army. I joined the Arizona Army National Guard, and they put me right back on recruiting duty in Yuma at 6550 where the Readiness Center is. And I just started putting people in the Guard. But then the people that I put in the Army or I talked to that joined the Marines and Navy, they were like, hey, you were the Army recruiter. I'm like, yeah. Hey, the Guard, 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year. And that was right during the 2005 is when I retired. The Iraq war started, and there were people, I was like, hey, Guard might be 1 week in a month, but you're going to be over, you know, it's a good chance of going, like the MPs and stuff. So, but a lot of people over the course of that 13 years of recruiting and stuff, and people now still will come up to me and fries, hey, my nephew wants to join the Army. And it was like 20 years ago, I retired. And I'm like, you look the same. And I'm like, I've been at YPG, you know, downrange. But it's good to know that people recognize. And then I take the time, whether they want to join the Army. Because they're like, are you pushed for the Army? I'm like, join the military. My nephew just joined the Navy to be a computer something. And I'm like, awesome. You know, enjoy. And then the different services, too. It's like sometimes, you know.
Did you hope or plan to get a job at YPG when you retired from active duty?
That was like something I spoke into existence when I was getting ready to retire out of the Army. They were like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I'm going to go out to YPG. What are you going to do? I don't know. I just know I'm going to go to YPG. And I started 2 months before I retired. I did an interview when it was EC3. And they go, we'll call you in 2 weeks. And they, on my drive home, they go, can you start Monday? And I was like, yeah. And I was actually a data collector, seeing all the vehicles and talking to people. And then about 4 or 5 months later, the slot for geodetics came up. I looked at it and was like, I can do that. And put in for it and did all the stuff. And then we got a call. I think her name was Frances Miner. And she goes, would you like to? I go, yeah. She goes, when can you start? I go, start right now. And so you got to put your 2 weeks notice in. So I was like, okay. And came out here. And ever since then, I knew what geodetics was, but not at YPG. And then just learning the ropes, because they're very meticulous to when it comes to, you know, measurement. You know, the bomb may have a 20 meter kill radius, but they want 3 or 4 millimeter accuracy. It's like, wait a minute, a bit to, you know, and I'm like, cool. But that was just the mindset. And then they would come up and say, hey, why don't you go TDY to Panama? And I'm like, okay, you know, to put stuff in. And it was just like, wait a minute, the coordinates here ain't like, you know, but just going the adventure. I've been to Panama 3 times, Hawaii for 44 days, going around the island. I was like, you're paying me for this. And it was like, yeah, I had to work 6 days. And I was like, okay.
Geodetics is probably the most fascinating thing that happens out here that most people don't know what it is. Can you talk about what geodetics does?
Geodetics measures everything that's out here. So a gun position going in, the engineer is going to say we're firing a line, 90 degree line of fire. So we'll go out there and this is where the gun goes. This is 90 degrees. Put the line, the gunners and everybody, that the piece of the puzzle will come their input in. But at the same time, when they fire that gun, they might want to capture the round coming out 2 meters, 3 meters, 4 meters, because it's supposed to do something and activate, or downrange before it hits the target. Something's supposed to happen. So we need cameras here, here, here. So we'll do all the math and say, okay, this is where you need to point. This is the angle. It all works out. Even though it's like, we don't ever see that. We just, your camera goes here, points here. Here's your field of vision, your view. And then those people that are putting the cameras and stuff or the microphones in are like, yep, we're good. And then sometimes you might have to adjust depending on it. But anything that goes in, we're measuring it, the angle, the distance, to everything. I mean, since I've been here, they're like, how many surveys you think you do? I have no idea. I mean, it's like, could be 2 a day, 5 a day. And then depending on whether you're using the GPS or the satellite, or you're looking at it. And when I got here, we had T-16s, which were the manual ones. And mine was dated like 1940. I'm like, they're still using these? It's like, it still works. You just got to use manual measuring chains and stuff. But now with modern technology, we got layers. Still, okay, we're good.
You saw a lot of changes. I mean, when you started out here, guided rounds were just starting to get developed.
Right. And I remember going way down with Yipo, the Excalibur, the different rounds and the extended rounds, and then like they would fire here, and then they started firing over Highway 95. I was like, mine, oh, okay. You know, are those people going to be okay? And stuff. And like when C-Round was gone with the Phalanxes and now all the drones, and it's just like, how do you guys, we don't measure a drone in the air, but where it's flying, its flight path, we put the coordinates there. So then range control goes, hey, this is your flight box. This is your elevation. So, you know, somebody else. We're just giving them, this is where you're at. One time I had to give ground markers on the ground because it was a UAV that just flew by sight. So I put orange markers on the ground so we could fly its path back and forth. And then they did what they did to test it. And it was just like, that's cool.
Is it hard to walk away from this job?
From where I'm at now, like at first I was like, no, I'll do it. You know, I got my 40, I'm at 42 now. And I was like, oh, I'll do another 10, get another pen. And then my sister Cindy, who was range control out here for many years. And I had a medical issue and was out for a couple of months. And then she called me and everybody's like, you know, she retired. And then finally she just, you ain't got nothing to prove. You retired of the Army. You retired YPG. Go hang out with your grandkids. And I was just like, that was like, you know what? Yeah. Every day I'd come in, when I came in the gate or wherever, I had to show my ID. And then they were like, how you doing? It's another fine day. It's another super fine day at YPG. Because you're letting me come out here and work. And all the people from YPG or the customers or the people that came back that would track the stuff that were from California. Over the years, you met them and it's just like, hey, you know, that missing people, it would be the stuff. But it's like, hey, I usually see them in Fry's or Walmart when I'm walking around. It's like, hey, I haven't seen you in a while, you know. But other than that, it's just like, close the chapter and write the new one. I said, well, the next one is going to be a novel because we're putting YPGs on the shelf, the Army's on the shelf. And it's like, okay, what are you going to do? And I'm like, what are you going to hang out with my kids, my grandkids? Get one of those big Sprinter OD Grand, and I'm not going to be a snowbird like here. I say, I'm going to be a desert raptor. So wherever the snowbirds, when they come here for the winter and go to summer, that's where I'm going to go. What do you guys do?
Are you going to keep up with YPG in retirement?
Yes. I mean, I still have like a lot of the Lincoln or Lincoln, and then a lot of the people at YPG, like Anna. When she was a kid, I was a recruiter, but I grew up with her mom and her aunts and stuff. And there's a lot of people out here is like part of the tribe out there at Antelope and stuff. You just, well, and then their kids and stuff. So I definitely keep up. When I first was recruiting out here, I used to come to the gym, it's the library, and all the things that they have for retirees. So it's like, cool, just won't go down range. I'll look from a distance and stuff. But I mean, I'll keep up with what people are doing and stuff like that. And like I said, hey, you got my number. I'm a phone call away.
It's really good talking to you, Darren.
Yep.
For as long as the United States has a military, Yuma Proving Ground will be vital to the national defense. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on The Testament.